Well, CNBC is the home of Fast Money, a powerful trading and investing broadcast. Most of my listeners have seen the fast-paced panel of Wall Street's top traders discussing their favorite investing ideas directly from the floor of the NASDAQ studio. The host of Fast Money, Dylan Radigan, my featured guest today. Dylan won the prestigious Gerald Loeb Award for his coverage on the Enron scandal of 2004. Welcome to the show, Dylan.
Hey, how you doing? What's going on?
What's it like recording a show with the crowd standing outside gawking into your studio? Do you have a following of groupies?
The good thing for us is we've been at it for a couple of years now, and it started with one or two people that were very curious as to whether we were doing a TV show or simply trying to clean up the studio after the markets had closed. And we've had a chance to sort of slowly get to know the folks, and as more folks show up, I think everybody, myself included, has remained quite comfortable with it. And the fact of the matter is the people that show up tend to be people that are friendly. It would be different if they were showing up throwing tomatoes.
No stripping or streaking?
No, they're stripping. I mean, it's Times Square after all. If you can think it, it's been done.
All right, well, let's begin with this wild roller coaster stock market ride. You know, 2008, worst year of the market since the Great Depression. Investors were hoping for a better start to 2009. Well, not so fast. Last month, stocks recorded, as I know you know, the worst January on record. The housing smash, credit crisis, still weighing kind of heavily on the equities.
Here's how I look at it. The stock market is and will remain a sideshow, a carnival, fool's game, until we actually deal with the fundamental problem of the total corruption of our banking system by both our Congress and a few banking executives here on Wall Street. The tragedy is a lot of the folks on Wall Street actually, even if they're not necessarily the best intentioned folks, certainly are not people that had the power, authority, or capacity to do what the bank CEOs, the Stan O'Neills, the Hank Paulsons, the Lloyd Blankfeins, the John Macks, were able to do with the complicit cooperation of the U.S. Congress to perpetrate what may be the largest insurance fraud in American history by selling credit default swaps, which is effectively credit insurance on every home loan in America, but keeping no collateral to pay for potential decline in the value of those homes, which is why the taxpayer is now paying all of the insurance claims, but the bonuses and the compensation for the sale of all of that insurance remains in Stan O'Neill's bank account along with his friends. That is the problem. Once we address the actual banking system and resurrect capitalism as we know it, where risk and reward are attached to each other, as opposed to thieves pretending to be capitalists and stealing money, I think the stock market will get a lot more normal.
You know, I'd like you to address how Sweden dealt with a very similar credit crisis back in the early 1990s. They had about six banks.
People say, oh, we can't nationalize the banks. We can't do this because it's more complicated. Those are sentences either said by people that are ignorant of the system or who want to protect the old system because they're getting paid by it. The reality is we have an opportunity to do what we've already done. In other words, we've already given them our money. You've got a choice. You can either let the people who ran the banks into the ground and stole all your money now have your money that you've given to them, or you can tell them what to do. But to kid yourself to think that you haven't nationalized the banks because you're letting the crooks that run the banks in the first place run them, but now using taxpayer dollars instead of their own because they already blew all their own money, is an idiotic attempt by people to try to feel like they're maintaining a sense of separation between the state and the people, which actually does not exist. So would you rather give your money to somebody to let them do whatever they want with it, and by the way, what they're doing is stuffing it in their pockets and running down the street, or would you rather say, I need to see what you're doing with my money?
I'm all for seeing what we do with our money, Dylan.
Well, right now the game we've been playing is you get to do what you Wall Street bankers, you the U.S. Congress, get to do whatever you want with my money. And I'm tired of playing that game. A lot of other people are as well.
I think our listeners are going to agree with you there, Dylan.
The action point for that and me is with Congress. We give a third of our salary every week to these people to be our employees to help manage our country for us. They're doing an atrocious job. The fact that we have not utilized modern technology, there is absolutely no reason why every single dime, penny, nickel, and $100 million and $1 trillion item spent out of Washington, D.C. is not publicly disclosed to every single person in America the same way the production assistant that works for you or whatever it is held to account inside of a restaurant or a radio station for what they do on their lunch hour. We give a harder time to the guy on his lunch hour than we do to the people that we're giving a third of our salary to collectively every week. The least we can do is demand the use of modern technology. The world has changed. We now have computers. We now have the internet. We now have the capacity to disclose anything to anybody, anywhere. least we could do is use that same technology to find out what's going on with our money.
Well, you've got my vote as new Treasury Secretary.
I'm just running for cable guy. I just want to turn the lights on. The thing is, everybody gets into the left-right politics, but the fact of the matter is the idiocy of left-right politics has left us creating a system that serves basically nobody's interest but a very small number of people, the lobbyists and the politicians who serve as the lobbyist handmaidens, basically. And as a result, it left us with a country that does not create opportunity or resource or efficiency for anybody in America. The least we can do is stop wasting money. And the only way that I know how to stop wasting money is to turn the lights on and get a full disclosure of every penny going through the joint, where it's getting spent, itemized. I should be able to click on a senator's head and see who they went out to lunch with. I should be able to click on a lobbyist's head and see who they're paying off and taking out to lunch. And I should be able to look on the internet and see if we're going to give $300 billion in this stimulus package to states. Every single state salary in America disclosed. I want to see every office that's getting $250,000 worth of toner when there's nobody even in the office.
What do you think then about what the Swedes did? They packaged up all the toxic debt, they tied it up and put it in a single bank and nationalized that bank, and then they realized we've got to get the economy back in shape. And the way to do that is to let the economy heal itself instead of throwing all this money at the problem.
Things I would add to that is, how can you nationalize all the bad assets without first getting clawbacks for the bonuses from the bankers who paid themselves billions of dollars, thank you very much, with an insurance fraud scam that created the bad assets? Because the bad assets that you speak of are toxic debts that were insured by the people that were running these banks, because they were the ones selling the insurance policy and keeping the billions for themselves. How do you expect the American taxpayer to assume responsibility for that huge toxic load you speak of, while the individuals who made themselves billionaires, as if they were some Bill Gates or Mike Bloomberg, when they're nothing could be further from the truth? They're pretenders.
Well, let's fast forward to your coverage on Enron. I mean, talk about similarities with fraud here. Now, you may have seen the movie made a year after you did your report, Enron, the smartest guys in the room.
We're dealing with the same thing, arrogance and secrecy. As long as somebody can keep a secret and they have the arrogance that the people that were running these banks or that were running Enron have, you can rest assured they have no shame in completely trying to destroy the brand that is America and the entire U.S. tax base in the process, and not to mention five generations of children in front of us.
Exactly. So we've got a new scandal unfolding every week. You know, and Enron is beginning to seem tame by comparison.
Enron is an appetizer. By the way, you know what else is an amateur hour? Bernie Madoff. We should be paying so much more attention to the CEOs of these banks and the fact that they are completely corrupting the American financial system and that they extracted personally billions for themselves. Madoff's the best thing that ever happened to the bank CEOs because it allows them to hide, because everybody can understand Bernie Madoff, and it's great. It's very sensational. It's very titillating.
Yeah, it takes the heat off of the bad guys.
But the actual bad guys in the room, the 10 bank CEOs, the U.S. Congress, a couple of Treasury secretaries, and five SEC chiefs.
What did we learn from Enron, and how can those lessons be applied to today's market?
What we learned from Enron is, if you have a marketplace, whether it's a market for energy, a market for apples, a market for anything, but you do not have a publicly disclosed location for pricing that everybody can see, the press can see it, investors can see it, anybody can see it, you must have price disclosure in a public venue, whether it's the New York Stock Exchange, any place. Who bought what, when, where? Must be disclosed, and you must have a standardized product. The reason it was Enron or the situation we're in now is the reason they can't unravel this toxic mess of mortgage debt is because each different mortgage bond is a customized product. Imagine if each share of IBM stock was a slightly different share. Never allow it. Imagine if each barrel of crude oil had slightly different amounts of oil in each barrel. The most important, the simplest thing is it cannot have a market if you do not have price discovery and standardized product. And if it doesn't have price discovery and standardized product, it's a recipe for somebody and you don't know to steal your money.
You got it. And plus, it would take an army of analysts and quants to figure out what's in the typical SIV or CDO, wouldn't
it? Exactly. You shouldn't even have this problem. And it's a direct reflection of the atrocious job our politicians have done in regulating our financial markets. Not in terms of regulation in the sense of you do this, you do that. In the sense of, as a system that demands transparency and price discovery and product standardization, and then you can let the dogs run wild. And the reality is, as long as it's done by the light of day, it usually doesn't get that bad.
Well, you know how the Danes have battled this? For any owner of a mortgage, I mean, I'm talking, you know, John Q. Public,
sure,
to go in, step into the market, and buy back their security from the mortgage-backed security. They do have price discovery, and they have transparency.
Right, but you can only do that if you have a standardized mortgage product.
And we don't have
that. Every mortgage product is totally customized to whatever makes Goldman Sachs the most money that week, or whoever it may be. The only person whose interest is served is the bankers.
Here's my proposal. The government steps in, takes up all this toxic mess, sifts through it, sorts it out, and allows for people to buy back at discount their mortgages.
As long as you claw back the bonuses from the people created that mess in the first place, you might have my agreement. I will not let those guys get away with a bank. This is the largest scam and cover-up in American history, and just because it's complicated doesn't mean they're allowed to get away with it.
Incredible. All right, you know, your crew on Fast Money, top-notch, from Karen Feinerman to Jeff Mackey, Pete Najarian, and Guy Adami. Now, you know, with the market under pressure, it seems as though you guys have it right. You know, buy and hope investing, it's not working anymore.
Doesn't function.
Trading is back in vogue. Tell them about Chart of the Day, Trade Tomorrow, Trade School.
I mean, sure, the show, and it's interesting because we've had to adapt the format, and we're continuing to adapt the format for the dynamic world that we live in. In other words, fast money in a bull market is predicated on the beginning of the show, obviously just telling you what happened that day, and then the next chapter in the show looking at, again, as you mentioned, trading tomorrow, and working your way through whatever the upcoming things may be, charts and all the rest of it. In the current environment, my agenda is a little bit different. It is tell people what happened in the market that day, then have a real conversation about some of the things you and I were talking about, policy issues, and then focus on anything that is working from a trading standpoint. And that, I think, is the most interesting aspect from an investor view. Even Karen Feinerman, as we've mentioned, who subscribes to a more traditional value, buy them and hold them point of view, has been forced by a market that's been turned into a carnival by our bankers who corrupted the financial system. I won't give you my speech again, but been forced to adopt trading strategies, whether it's buying and selling McDonald's between 50 and 60, or whether it's being long the refiners and short the drillers, because when oil prices come down, refinery margins go up and exploration and drilling activity goes down. You need to start to think about the slivers and dynamics, which is what we're doing as a group and what we're attempting to talk about every single night. We're launching, in fact, a new series this week as we watch the trend of guidance going away, where you're not getting that CEO guidance anymore. That's called Analyze This Flying Blind, trying to anticipate how do you even invest in any sort of a security or a stock specifically with less and less information about where the CEO sees demand coming from.
People need their bottom line to improve, and these are really frightening times.
Exactly.
For the typical investor out there.
You've got to be on, and the thing is, it is a lie to sit there and say it'll be fine. Maybe it will be fine, and maybe it won't, but quite honestly, I'm not qualified to tell you whether it's going to be fine or not. What I am qualified to tell you is that these are some things that are working right now, and these are some things that are not, and these are the variables that we are all trying to integrate to try to determine whether we're going to be fine or not. At least it's honest.
If you were with your panelists right now, with your crew, and you posed this question to them, will we see a turnaround, do you think, by June, July of 2009? What do you think you'd hear?
I mean, listen, it changes every day. I think the larger expectation for the stock market is some sort of a churn. We may get either some volatility up or down, by the way, over the next couple of months, and on basically Obama and political-related optimism and or pessimism, depending on how this plays out. And then a market that just goes dead to sleep. Maybe you're going to have a lot of theater because there's so much policy conversation right now. But eventually, whether we do stimulus, we don't do stimulus, more tax cuts, fewer tax cuts, whatever you want to do, eventually it'll just be over. You're going to have to wait for the debt to be worked off, for the banking system to function, and to see whether we can generate real economic growth in parts of the economy that actually serve society. In other words, at least the tech bubble gave us more improved communications and information distribution, even if it was a little bit overdone or a lot overdone. The problem with this bubble is all it's done is put a few billion dollars in a few guys' pockets and left us with absolutely nothing. We need to use capitalism to solve our energy problem so that we're not dealing with the Middle East. We need to use capitalism to solve our healthcare problem so we're not dealing. We need to use the force and the innovative and creative force of capitalism, and we need to demand that our policymakers create structures that allow for this possibility as opposed to simply engendering the very short-sighted interests of the lobbyists so that they can line their own pocket. Only way to do it is to start by turning the lights on. It's like trying to fix a car before you've actually diagnosed the whole machine. We need to turn the lights on to see where all of the money in America that is the taxpayers' money, but it is not in our control. It's in the control of other people. I need to see what's going on with all the money. Once I can see what's going on with all the money, we can set the entire blogosphere, the entire media, every McKinsey analyst, every smart person at Goldman Sachs loose like a bunch of wild dogs. And then we'll see what we're really dealing with. But until the politicians respect the American people enough to actually disclose to us what they are doing with all of our money, we're going to have a problem. And so until we do that, that's going to be my crusade.
Very good. Okay, my special guest today, Dylan Radigan, the host of Fast Money. You can set your DVRs and TiVos to every night at 5 p.m. Eastern on CNBC, and that's from the NASDAQ market site in New York City. Dylan, for folks who'd like to find out more about your work on Fast Money, please tell them how they can do so.
Well, again, fastmoney.cnbc.com is the best place to look. Also, I've been contributing as a co-host with Morning Joe on Joe Scarborough's show on MSNBC going back to September. So if you like Fast Money, but it's a little too stock markety for you and you want to hear more policy stuff, feel free to join us on Morning Joe with Mr. Scarborough every morning. It's from 6 to 9 on MSNBC as well.
Okay. Well, listen, thanks for taking time out of your schedule and continued success.
Thank you very much. All right, bye.